Welcome, welcome for those who've joined us since we started. I didn't think I would get to preach tonight. My heart was breaking so much at the start of the meeting, I thought this is going to be sad. This is going to be a fall down meeting. But the Lord strengthened me and the Lord has encouraged me. And you have encouraged me by being here and I'm grateful for that. I don't think that Dot and I even had a vague understanding of what it would mean to come to this great city 12 years ago and start this church. I don't think we even understood. We are all concept-minded people and we think, well, a church should look like this and it should have those attributes. And we came an amazing journey and some of you have been part of that journey all along with us. But we did not understand one thing, that the love of Christ is so awesome. And the love He put in our hearts for you people and for the people of this nation is something which is indescribable. And we are leaving a piece of ourselves here when we go back to our own country. And it can never be replaced because it is so, so special. And if I go on that lane, I'm going to blub in a minute, so let's move on. But truly, we are so very grateful to you guys for all that you are and all that you've been to us and for your lives. You have been amazing people, and I know there are more that aren't able to be here tonight, but some of your lives, when we watched the transition that has happened in your lives from when we first met you to what you have become, and it's absolutely indescribable to even begin to tell you. And you've probably forgotten what you were. But God has done a great work amongst us. And God has changed our lives and changed our hearts. And God has built this in us. God has done this. We didn't do it. Our cleverness ran out a few years back. We ran out of good ideas. And then what was left was desperation. And that drove us into Jesus. And, you know, I'm telling you now, we're going to make sure we've got a great big few spare rooms and you guys are going to come see us. Seriously, you can get a flight directly into Cape Town from here. So what has this been all about? What would I leave you with tonight? What would I say to you that would in some way encourage you and inspire your heart and inspire you for the journey that's ahead of you? And I suppose the most precious attribute of all of this to me has been the body of Christ, the people that make up this body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the body made up of many parts, and he equates it with the human body, which has ears and noses and toes and all the rest of it. And he says that each part plays a role and it's important to have. And it's arranged just the way God wants it. And then he says the same about this body with Christ as the head. And this body has got everybody in it just as Christ purposed it. You're not here by accident. You are part of a bigger plan than you even begin to realize. And in this plan and in this time, God is building us into something which is going to have an incredible impact in this nation and in the world. And, you know, I really want to say something to you which, with all my heart, I wish was not true, but I really believe days are coming which are going to put a lot of testing on the hearts of believers. And I want to say something to you tonight. I want to say something. You've got to hold on. You've got to make a decision that you've decided to follow Jesus and there is no turning back. Nothing is going to stop your resolve and your decision to follow Him, no matter what it costs, no matter how testing or difficult it might be, no matter how much you wish to run the other way. It has to be formed and founded on that one decision, that there is no turning back from this place. Because the strength of the church is not going to be its great buildings and great possessions and anointed, gifted people. The strength of this is going to be the body, which holds together, where each one plays a vital part and each one is valued and seen to be significant and important. And each one is allowed to make the contribution that the Spirit has apportioned for it to make. And each one of us feels a sense of belonging because we're part of a body. We're not going to a church. We are part of a body. And the cement that holds this together is simply this, it's love. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 13 of this love. And he says the most remarkable things. If I can speak in the tongues of angels and of and I can give all I possess to the poor, and if I even surrender my body to the flames as a martyr, if I haven't got love, I'm pretty poor. I have nothing. And you know, when we came here, we had no idea what this love was going to be about. We did not know how much we were going to love you. We didn't understand. And you know, love is tested to come to a refine through, go through a refining process to produce what it is. And I just want you to know that we have loved you so much. And we have felt so much love from you. And we are so rich because of that. And this convinces me above all else that this is a brilliant formula for what God has purposed to do in this nation and in this capital city at this time. And it's this love that holds you together that is going to enable you to be strong, where each one belongs, each one is valued, each one is seen to be important for the overall good. These are the elements that are necessary. And this is what is going to hold you together and make you formidable as a force for the glory of Jesus in the world. And I'm so grateful that I could share part of your journey. Yours carries on. It's not stopping here. It moves on. And ours moves on somewhere else. We have shared the part we could share. We have been able to enjoy this incredible place. But a time has come for us to move on now. And somebody else is going to step into this place with you. Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, he said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Bear in mind, he had not yet been crucified. Obviously, they picked up the love that he had for them in the way he related to them, the way he gave himself to them, the way he related to their lives, the freedom they had to be near him and to be with him and to share this journey with him. And he says, my command is, love each other as I have loved you. They weren't yet to understand the extent of his love. That was still to happen. But he says, love each other. What you've seen me do, that's what you got to do. You know, there's so many things that try to seduce us away from that one simple truth. And there's so many things out there shouting, this is important. Pursue this angle. Jesus says only one thing is important. Love. Love God. And love each other. And this is the key. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for one's friends. He hadn't yet laid down his life. They didn't even dream for a moment that this was going to happen. But clearly what they were observing in his life was the way he loved them, the way he lived, that he gave up his preferential position for them. Whatever he had, which was great and awesome, he wanted them to have. He preferred them to have than himself to have. And that's what he was telling them about here. Of course, he was going to lay down his life later on. But they wouldn't understand that yet. And it's this that I want to say to you. Everyone here is important. Everyone matters. The most gifted, the most servant-hearted, the most average, those little Abru girls, each one of them are important. They are vital to this body. We cannot take each other for granted. We cannot say, well, they're a little less interesting than most people, so I'm not really going to hang out with them too much. But guys, can you imagine how powerful this is? Can you begin to think how much this city is crying out for this one very thing? A resolved bunch of people who have given themselves to loving God and loving each other and not giving up. Who understand that this is a body, it's not an organization, it's not a club. It's a body of people, a body which has a life pulsating in it. It has a function, it has a purpose. And this body, if we get this body right, if this truly works as it, Jesus has started to establish it, this body is what this nation is crying out for. This body has the power, despite how little we are as a group. This body has all the intrinsic values to change a nation and rip people, grab people on the verge of hell and bring them into a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. This love. You know, it would have been great to start telling you we've got to evangelize more, we've got to prophesy more, we've got to pray more, we've got to do all kinds of things more. We've got to love Jesus more. You know, it's really interesting. He is the God of the suddenly. And I want to, the second thing that he gave me to say to you tonight. We are people of the Spirit. We're Holy Ghost people. There's a danger that we can so intellectualize God that we forget that he's the God, the Holy Spirit as well. And I believe there's a richness that God wants to impart to us of the Spirit. You know, the disciples, or the apostles as they became, were walking along with Jesus a few weeks only before he was to be crucified. And they were arguing over which of them would have the greatest ministries. They didn't understand. And then he gets crucified. And then they see him again, and then he rises up to heaven. And they have left with one command. This little disparate bunch of people have one command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you. For in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will have power to be my witnesses. And these guys go and they go back to Jerusalem and they really don't know what they should do. So they go back to the room that they had been in with him before. And in this room, they just spend time waiting on God, pressing into God. And that's the key thing I want to tell you tonight. You know, we've become spoilt in worship in this time. We're used to the best musically. We're used to the best in terms of equipment. And I think we might just be losing sight of what really matters. And that is the heart. And Jesus wants us to connect to him, not because they're singing a song I like, or the song that's truly great and I really want to be part of this. If they get up and they sing a song we sang 40 years ago, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And you know, if something in our hearts could just say, yes, this song is truth, it might not be modern. That's not what I'm here for. It's not that I'm here to sing only modern songs. I'm here to sing to Him. And I'm here to pour my heart out before Him. Do you know that in Pentecost, when they waited consistently upon Him for 10 days, suddenly He came as a mighty sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then the Spirit fell on them. And this bunch of people who were arguing about who was going to have the greatest ministry now suddenly are changed. And the greatest ministry that was to take place on the earth began to happen right there in their midst. What was changed? One thing, the Spirit. Can I tell you something? In the early part of the charismatic renewal, when we all started to speak in tongues and started to prophesy and started to experience the presence of God in the most dramatic way possible, there was some very interesting research that was published at that time. And this goes back several decades now. The Pentecostal church, which came out of the Azusa Street revival, a greatest move of the Spirit in North America that ever happened, that was to affect so much of the world. And in amongst Pentecostals surveyed, they discovered that only 30% don't even spoke in tongues anymore. Can I tell you what happens, guys? If we don't pursue the Holy Spirit, if we don't choose to keep the Spirit alive, we will revert back to becoming cerebral people, saying God can only be discerned in my intellect and nowhere else. And we will miss the greatest power that God had ever intended. We will miss the thing that God wants us to do on the earth. We will miss the one thing that this body of love will be able to do, and that is change a world by the power of God. There's so many people who talk about when the Spirit of God falls and we will see a mighty ingathering. And the question I always want to ask is, how? How? How will that happen? If you go to Wales, what you'll discover is people who are hungry for God in an extraordinary way. If you go to the Hebrides, you'll find the same thing. God responds to the hunger of people. Simply that. Not, oh, they're singing the song I like, so I'll join in this one. But I'm not really keen on that song, so I'll just opt out of this now. Sadly, Holy Spirit's been given a bad press in the last few years. And people have turned Him into a clown who turns up to tickle them and make them laugh and flop about. And that's okay. But except I don't think that's all that there is. To me, it's like a little bit, like a few children splashing around in ankle-deep water when the better stuff is right in the middle of the river. And they don't want to go there because it's just fun here splashing each other, and that's all they want. But God has something much greater for all of us. And you know what? It's how hungry you and I are that will reveal God in us in a greater way than we could ever imagine. Several decades back in South Africa, in a little city called East London where Dot and I lived, our leader had been to a conference in Atlanta with a guy called Dr. Edward Miller, who had been part of the revivals in South America and played a really key role. And they had this church where awesome things were happening in America. And Derek went to that church for a conference, and he came back, and I fetched him at the airport on the Wednesday night and said, by the way, you're preaching at a combined service of all the relating churches in the city all on Sunday. He wanted to run away. And Sunday came, and because the people knew where he had been, they turned up with an expectation in their hearts that something different was going to happen here today. And he preached on the widow, the jar of oil, and in the end he was about to say, he said, let's sing one more song. The children were in the hall next door. The main hall where we were is huge, hall was packed out. And as the musicians began to get going to start singing the song, this man stood up in the front and he shouted, my God, I'm bankrupt before you. And he fell to the floor sobbing. And another man walked to the front and marched up the front and said, this is God and I will not leave until He blesses me. And he laid on his face. And I saw what God does in response to the hearts of truly hungry people. I saw people by their hundreds fall to their faces on the floor and begin to cry out to God, begin to weep with all their hearts. This carried on for hours, but more than that, it carried on for years afterwards. In our church, we never had a meeting where people didn't get delivered of something or the other. We weren't even that kind of ministry. We didn't even look for it. But we just noticed that in every meeting, people started frothing at the mouth and hurling themselves about and swearing and stuff and needed attention. So we developed a team of guys, and they would simply walk in, four to each person, lift them bodily up by their limbs and cart them off to this room where another team would get them sorted out, get them cleaned up, send them back in the meeting. And what you realize is when the Spirit of God is close like that, suddenly things which can live quite happily can't stay there anymore. They have to get out. People used to come to the church. I'd sit on the platform and watch them. And they'd come, they'd look through the windows, and then they'd come to the door. And they were nervous to come in, but eventually they would come in during the meeting. And as they stepped in the room, sometimes they started manifesting demonically and got set free. The glory of God was so awesome. You couldn't stay in the meeting. You know, we had a children's ministry. And the children were taken out, and they used to sneak out of the children's ministry and come back. They said, we want to be where Jesus is. We want to be in the children's ministry. Kids don't want to be in, they want to come in the main meeting and sit there for hours in God's presence. When it's real, yes. When that kind of glory is there, yes. Do you know that our whole city came alive? Our whole city, churches became full. People started getting saved. We used to drive our children to school. We'd pass this one's high school on the way. And the playing fields at 7 a.m. would be full of young teenagers worshiping Jesus, with nobody there to organize it or tell them they had to. Can you see when I ask people, what's going to cause this? What's going to bring about this? Is it going to be that we'll have a little manifestation? No, it's not enough. It has to go down to our hearts. And from our hearts, this hunger needs to begin to rise up. And this desperation that says, Jesus, I'm not satisfied with what we have now. If you don't come, this is just a game and I don't want to play games. I want the real thing. I want the reality. And we have got to recognize that God's plans are to bring about the greatest change. And my appeal to you guys tonight, don't forget who you are. You are people of the Spirit as well as people of Jesus and the Father. You know, there are ministries that branch off and you get the Father ministry and you get the Holy Spirit ministry and you get the Jesus ministry. But we're meant to be part of the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Each one playing a role in our hearts. There's such a funny story. I think it's in Mark 6. When Jesus and his disciples, bearing in mind he had fed the thousands with this 5 loaves and 7 fishes, or the other way around. And they're sitting in the thing, and he says to them, look out for the yeast of the Pharisees. And they begin to argue amongst themselves, and they say, it's because we only brought 1 loaf of bread with us that he says you've got to look out for the yeast that makes bread rise, obviously. And Jesus says the most interesting thing. He says to them, are your hearts so hardened that you cannot understand what I'm saying? Those same men were the ones, not very long after that, who poured the glory of God poured through their lives into the nations of the Middle East. And now that fills the world. This heart has to be changed by the Spirit. Only the Spirit can do it. I can't change my heart. I can study the Scripture till I'm blue in the face. I'll change my mind, but I cannot change who I intrinsically am. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And I want to lay before you guys, never stop believing that you are the people of the Holy Ghost. Go and examine history. Go and get hold of God's generals and go and look and see the one single intrinsic common element in all of those people were a desperation for God and an expectation that the Spirit would come and do the most awesome thing amongst them. And you know, it would be nothing different than a meeting like tonight. But because we're so conditioned, well, it's 35 minutes now, so we better be pulling in and moving on with this. But one day it will happen that somebody will say, the heck with the time. We're only seeing a little bit, but there's much more to be seen. And we're not giving up now because we're hungry for the reality of who He is. And we're not going to stop until we have that. And you will see the suddenly happen here amongst you. And those who kind of thought, I could be tempted, will suddenly be on their feet. We'll be bellowing along with the rest. We'll be screaming out for God. Because the fire of God will fall amongst you and ignite your hearts in a way which will transform your life, but transform the lives of people outside of this place. We can't change a nation with street evangelism. We can't change a nation with any program that we set in place unless it is filled with the Holy Spirit. And He is the one that brings about the changes. I want to beg you guys, as we move on, we're going to be listening to the podcasts. We're going to be hearing news about you guys and what you've been doing. And I want to say to you, let this become the place where the love of God is manifested in such incredible proportions that this body recognizes that every single member matters with Christ as the head. Every member is significant in this place. And the second thing is, allow Jesus by the Spirit to build the desperation into your heart that you will not give up. You will not accept that it will only be like this. But you will go on until you see the very thing that you long for. Those of you who were here at our Thanksgiving service before Christmas would have heard Paul Karslake's testimony, which was absolutely amazing, where he'd been challenged a few months earlier to just speak in tongues for an hour every single day, and he began to do that. And how his heart began to be changed. You see, that is singly the biggest gift that we could ever have that God has given you. And if you're not using it, you're literally saying, that's not important and I don't need it. I want to counsel you. You should be praying aloud in tongues every single day. And when you get to do 1 hour, push for two, push for three. Because God will transform your heart through the power of His Spirit. Because He will begin to pray through you. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself, you build yourself up. Last night, I thought I was coming to the music group practice. I got the night wrong. No, not your fault, my fault. And I thought, I'd been praying in tongues all afternoon. And I came in the car, and I came in here, and you weren't here. And then I checked my diary and realized I was in the wrong time. And I needed a few things. I went to Waitrose. Now, Waitrose can sometimes not be a happy experience because they're quite sort of snooty people there sometimes. You know, they're kind of not totally. And I sometimes just feel, I don't really feel like a fit in here. But I was praying in tongues. I started smiling at everybody. And I thought, they must think I'm nuts because I just smiled at them. Because, you know, He cracks your face up when you fill yourself with Him. And I want to say to you guys, it's our petrol to make this engine work. It's what keeps the power of the Spirit going. It's what changes your life. That's why you got it. It's a gift. It's not meant to just come out of the odd meeting. It's meant to be the fuel of your and my life. Filled with the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit day and night. You know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I don't know what to pray. And I start praying in tongues. And God does the rest. He leads you on a journey. Why am I telling you all this? Because you've got to be people of the Spirit as well as the Word. And when those two come together, the Word and the Spirit, when the truth of the Word, which is implanted in your understanding, is ignited by the power of the Spirit flowing into your heart, London, beware. United Kingdom, beware. This is going to be a dangerous place. Two things I have to leave with you. Love each other. Be people of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to take you on this journey where He wants you to be. Now, Jonathan and Helena are joining you as part of the body. They will play a role in the body as each one of you has. Just as each one of you is important to the body, they are important to this body. They can only play their role if you're prepared to open your heart and love them and welcome them and make them part of you. And they will to take the place that God has called them to fill and lead all of us to the place that God has purposed for you. I know their lives. I know what they've been, what their lives are about. I have no doubt that they are the perfect fit for the place. You've got to allow them space to adjust to being part of you. You've got to allow them space to get it wrong sometimes and learn and get it right. You've got to allow them the security of knowing you're not just here as long as they can preach the right words and it can sound great from the musicians, but you are here by conviction. I am here because of Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with who the leadership is. And God will begin to work through them. And God will lead you and Jonathan and Helena to the place that He has purposed you to fulfill. There's been 12 years of incredible intercession and worship sown in here. Now's the time. Now's the time to move on. I want to do something which I just thought about. No, I haven't. I thought about it earlier, but I've just been reminded of. I want us to embrace these guys. And I know that it's unusual because you don't know them very well yet. But it would be no different than anybody who walked in and wanted to be part of this. And so I'm going to ask you to come up here, Jonathan, Helen, and Dot. If you would come and join me, please. I love surprises. That was good. If you would stand in front of me here together and Dot next to me here. If you would face me. Thank you. And we want to just ask you to join your hands. And then we want to put our hands upon your hands. Jonathan and Helena, God has raised you up for a time like this. And for a purpose like this. And we want to put in your hands the lives of these people. We have carried them, but now they're yours to carry. Lead them well. Lead them with love. Lead them in the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit. Lead them with courage. Lead them unstintingly. Cultivate a spirit of desperation for the things of God here. What you know and what your lives intrinsically are about, let that be what flows out of you. So we pass each precious life into your hands. They don't belong to us and they don't belong to you. But you are given this task of nurturing them, of caring for them, of encouraging them on this journey. Take them from us. And lead them as God enables you to. We thank you for the power of your Spirit, Lord God. The anointing that's within each of their lives. We thank you for the courage in their hearts to step up to this place. And we ask you to meet that courage with your grace. And lead them powerfully in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them discover the greatest reason for being here of all. Jesus, the Son of God. Thank you. So we set you in place as the leaders of Kingdom Faith Church London. We give you this because it has been ours to carry, but we pass it to you now. We have loved them, and I ask you to love them. And I ask you to care for them as your own. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit attend you and your ways through all that you have to undertake in the days that lie ahead. Moving to London, selling your house, finding a new home, finding your way into a new culture. May the Lord God Himself undergird you, strengthen you, and uphold you. May His power be mightily at work within you to do great things for His great name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's bless them in the name of the Lord.
Jonathan.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. It's been a privilege to be part of you. But our time is now to move on and go and enjoy ourselves in Cape Town. We're going to break bread. If I could ask somebody to help us bring the bread up, thank you. I'll be grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a privilege to be part of your life. Thank you for sharing it with us. We are so very grateful to you. Hallelujah. I know that next Friday night will be, I think, decidedly a Kleenex night. Come prepared. But, you know, I'd rather be real than be polished and slick. Seriously. I think you have better relationships that way. So come and blub as much as you want or don't. It's your decision. Let's break bread together. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this amazing gift of your life given for us. Thank you that when you died, you gave us eternal life. You took upon yourself our shame. You scorned the shame of the cross, and you allowed them to torture and punish you so that you could remove our guilt and set us free in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, as we take this loaf of bread and we break it, we remember your body was broken for us. And as we break this bread, we remember that every disease was destroyed. Poverty, curses were broken. Poverty was ended. Separation from God was completed. And man and God are one again. Jesus has made a way. And we can walk in this in the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that this means to us. Thank you for the power of your blood, that as we drink this juice, we remember that you have washed us and made us purer than the whitest snow. And you have brought us into a covenant with you. So we declare with joy in our hearts that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Hallelujah. Could you come up here? Let's all just gather around this table as a great big bunch of people. And because this is meant to be done in a family context, a meal for us to share. So, brothers and sisters, Christ's body was broken for us. You are our family, and we are so glad to be part of this. And we share this meal with you. Come and eat in all that God has planned for you. Be refreshed, be strengthened, be healed, be set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.